Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Stephen Quayle. I'll have open lines next hour, but lots to talk about, so get ready to make the call. We'll be back in a moment with Stephen on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Stephen Quayle, our special guest. We'll take your phone calls with him now. Stephen, what's happening in our lands where China is buying everything up like crazy?
Well, I think if people will do their homework, not only is China buying up all our lands like crazy, but our government, unknown to the population, gave China a security interest in all the national parks and other important real estate in the United States. It's one thing to buy it. It's another thing to have it be given. We have a $2 trillion, in essence, deficit with China. And in order to continue to buying our bonds, bills, and notes, our treasury bills, bonds, and notes, a number of years ago, we started pledging our national monuments, our national heritage, and our future, especially farmland. And so what's happening is a displacement. And most people don't even understand this, that's a biblical prophecy being fulfilled, that strangers from without will possess you from within, Deuteronomy 28. Someone says, well, that's Old Testament. I said, yeah, well, it's amazing how the Old Testament reality is fitting today's contemporary headlines. Just an interesting story. You know, I live within, by air, 30, 45 minutes from Yellowstone Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, George, that what's fascinating to me is that when you go to Jackson, which is directly, south of Bozeman, Montana, and into, the Tetons, especially Jackson Hole, you will be surprised, tour bus after tour bus after tour bus, and having gone there for 43 years and photographed it for those 43 years, at least once a year, if not now, a half a dozen times during the year, the amount of Chinese tourists, and they openly acknowledge that it's our park now. And again, that's hard for people to understand. One of the park employees who listens to you and I is listening tonight came in my store 2 years ago. I've told this story before and said, Steve, he said, I was tasked with driving as a driver the highest national park officials and the highest Chinese officials around through the park. And I said to the head guy for the U.S., he named him, and I don't remember the name, but he said, I said, sir, they sound like they own it. And the guy abruptly said, yes, they do. So the point is that I don't think, how should I say this? I think the veil is being ripped off the eyes now, the denial, if you will, the cover-up. Look at people don't believe the media anymore, George. We'll have more people listening to us tonight and counting downloads and everything. They don't go back and listen to CBS, NBC,
no.
Fox. Or any of the network news, because, again, I call them vomit brokers, okay? Nobody in their right mind would take a bath in hot vomit, regurgitation. Yet, people have been subjected to that, and that's why the alternative media is such a threat to the Bilderbergers and others, because Marshall McLuhan made the statement, the media is the message.
And he was right.
And so look at this. We used to read 1984 and kind of laugh at telepresence and Big Brother. Well, Big Brother is not in your bedroom anymore. It's in your veins with the biometrics. And people are emailing me every day with no exaggeration saying, but what if they stick something in my body I don't know about? Well, what about smart dust, S-M-A-R-T, dust? And basically, that's not what you sweep into the dustpan when you clean out Congress and the Senate. Smart dust, they've come to the point, I think it was Hitachi developed it, where they can literally spray this stuff. Imagine glitter, but each piece of glitter having its own unique identification number. Well, it's on everything. So the plan is to number every single thing, every plant, and this is why it's crazy. Some places in the country are outlawing growing your own vegetables, and there are dumbass lawyers, forgive me, who are suing, claiming that the right to feed yourself is no longer a right, okay? It's a privilege, not a right. And it's fascinating, isn't it? All the deaths and all the people dying, and everybody else in the world has a right to defend themselves. And oh, let's not forget Fast and Furious, where our government provided guns that ended up killing U.S. Border Patrol agents. And let's not forget ISIS being armed through Libya and the whole Benghazi incident. So it's interesting, isn't it? We'll arm everybody in the world who hates us, but we'll disarm the people who fought for us, veterans, okay? Veterans are in the sights of everybody who's evil. And God bless the veterans. I hear heartbreaking stories on my phone calls, in my emails, of veterans being denied medical care, and yet the veterans will go out and spend $20 million on some new entertainment center, you know, for the hierarchy of the Veterans Administration. The veterans are the most abandoned, forsaken, and I would say this, under destruction group in the world, because they were the ones to train to fight a war. And people will say this, the American people have 100 million guns, blah, blah, blah. And people don't get a bigger point, is the United Nations Security Council is composed of Russia and China, amongst others, and all the statements of the foreign troops here are real. And people say, well, I'd see them if they were around. No offense, if you can't see what's in front of your face, you're certainly not going to be able to see what's in the woods of Michigan or the 100-and-some bases that George Bush Sr. closed down. Those were all transferred to NATO, and during the Cold War, they had underground tunnels and railway systems between them.
What are they doing with the land there, Stephen?
The land?
All these bases, if they were emptied out, what are they still doing with the property?
Well, they're putting men and materials from foreign countries in there that they will turn loose when the order is given.
Remember, so they just replaced American troops with foreign troops.
You got
on
it.
Our bases.
And you said it well. They're worried about what's going to come down in the city. And, you know, I believe that they want it to happen. I believe that instead of trying, I think America was on the road to incredibly better race relations, and I've said this on the show. People say, well, where is it in Bible prophecy? Jesus said nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The word nation is ethnos. And even, and I think it's interesting, Donald Trump was vilified in the Latino community, but the Latino community are some of the hardest working people I have ever seen in my life.
I would agree. Steve, let's take some calls. They're lining up here for you. Okay. We're going to run out of time. Annette in Ohio, east of the Rockies, to get us going. Hello, Annette.
Hi, good morning. And I'm living in the Dayton area, and they must be accelerating something underground at Wright Patt, because people have been hearing boom, and they come out, the sound seems to come out from the storm drain.
Like they're drilling something down there.
Well, and
blowing things up.
And Wright-Patterson has one of the most sophisticated underground systems that even people that have been stationed there don't know about. Here's what's interesting. You've seen the drilling machines, the giant tunnel boring machines that use kind of like a grinding head. A good example is the Bertha in Seattle.
Right.
But the true tunnel boring machines are interesting. They use a form of a plasma cutting cone. And this was told to me by one of the guys who helped design it, okay? I believe he passed away last year. A very wonderful man. And by the way, I had a witness with me who heard him say the same thing. What happens when they're digging these underground tunnels, they come into methane pools and they come into gas pools, and many times those things explode. The reason why the storm drains are picking this up and people are hearing it now, they're building new tunnels and feverishly. So what they're hearing in the explosions, and by the way, they register sometimes as 2 and 3 earthquakes, you know, magnitude 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
It is a, and this is the, what you see, what they admit to is not what they use secretly. So that's what the listener in Dayton, Ohio, when I interviewed Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, that's where the secret stuff is stored. It's not just Area 51 or S4 or whatever. It is absolutely a known fact in the intelligence community that Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is the area that gets the majority of alien stuff and ancient stuff brought in. By the way, that's where it's believed that the giant from Afghanistan that was
stored away, right?
Yep, that's where he was flown out of Afghanistan. He was flown to another, I think it was Qatar, and from there was transferred to a Galaxy, and it was taken, that's the big Air Force transport plane, and it ultimately landed in Wright-Patterson. They have abilities to absolutely shield all the aircraft and unload it, and so Wright-Patterson is right in the heart, pun intended, of probably the most underground building going on right now.
All right, let's go to Joe in the Bronx. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, great show tonight. Stephen, I wanted to ask you about this jump room you've been talking about. Where is it rumored to be located on Earth, and where is the coinciding jump room on Mars? And also about the human cloning. What people are going to be able to afford a human clone of themselves?
Well, that's a great question. Can I answer that one first? The elite are the only ones that can afford, outside of the technology of the laboratories, producing the chimeras they want for deadly purposes. But if you notice this, it's all the billionaires. You can see it on Drudge every day or every other day's story. So the billionaires are the ones that are absolutely putting their fortune and their intellect, and these guys are bright, to be able to live forever. And so even to the point of everyone's talking now, and I believe that Jeff Bezos of Amazon, or Bezos, whichever way you pronounce his name, is talking about getting off the planet. Well, for the record, we've been beyond the planet, beyond the stars. Now, the jump room that you asked about, it's not singular. They are located all over the planet. Where they end up is in the Cydonia base. Just as the plane of Cydonia on the surface of Mars, everybody will tell you, and that's a great question, caller, that it's not what you see on top of the surface of any of the planets or the moons. It's what's underneath. And it's just like all the ruins in America and in South America and all over the world, from Antarctica to the Arctic. It's not what you see above ground. It's what you see underground. For instance, Baalbek in Lebanon, the vast... And by the way, I want to correct something I said earlier. Brazil is where Hitler was. Believe it or not, George, his obsession with tunnels led him to Peru, to one of the greatest underground citadels in the world. And that's what our True Legends DVD, The Unholy Sea, is talking about, the tunnel system, the vast tunnel system. So it's fascinating to me that when you deal with the jump room, when you deal with, if you will, advanced technology, that you step in on one side of the portal and end at another part of the universe. By the way, the one question I couldn't ever get answered to my satisfaction, how do you know where you're going, and how do you know where you end up, okay? You know, that's one of the things that when I told my wife, hi, honey, guess what? I've got an offer. She looked at me and thought, uh-oh, he's gone over the edge. But how? She said, how do you know you'll end up where they tell you you'll end up? I said, well, I guess I just got to trust him. And she looked at me, George, and with one of those looks that only a wife can give a husband, and needless to say, I shut up after that. Now, I'm not kidding about this, okay? And you'd have to say, okay, this guy's claiming what Dr. Basiago says. This guy's claiming what, and there are areas, you know this, we've talked about, there are areas in the military that are so far beyond top secret, 28 levels, cosmic, majestic, so many of them that it is the most elite of the elite. And I think the hardest thing for people to grasp is this. It's one thing to know it's happening now. It's another thing to know that there were entities on the earth, fallen angel technology, that basically enabled that to happen in the dateless past.
All right, next up, Kareem in Los Angeles. Hi there, welcome to the show.
Hi, yes, George. I'm a longtime listener, second time caller.
Well, thank you.
Tell your guest, he's hit it on the head, and I'm really worried about two things. The top two questions I have in my head was, number one, how can a guy like me with a family prepare for this, because all this is just overwhelming? And number two, have you ever heard of Kevin Trudeau?
Okay, and I'm sorry, George, I've got kind of crummy hearing. Kevin Trudeau?
Yes.
Well, sure. I mean, are you talking about the Kevin Trudeau that...
From Canada?
Yeah.
Yes.
That Kevin Trudeau? Are you talking about the one that was on talk radio and on TV with a lot of different products and a lot of different books?
Well, yeah, we know him, and he's... I don't know, is he still in jail?
You know, I don't know. I knew that he was threatened big time by the Illuminati. And if I'm correct, this is going into my memory banks, Alex Jones interviewed him. And basically, I believe that Kevin made the statement, and now it's coming back to me, that he was taken aside and basically threatened every which way by, you know, the powers that be to absolutely shut up or die. So I don't know if he is or isn't, but let's get to the more important question.
Yeah, please.
Of how you prepare for your family. First of all, you know that everything is a priority. We all prioritize stuff. And, you know, when it comes to preparation, the two most important things outside of location is having the knowledge of what to do at the time it happens. Now, did I hear you correctly? You're in L.A.?
He's in L.A., yep.
Okay. And again, my apologies, you know, too many years of loud music.
Are you getting old on me, Quail? What's going on?
Listen, I'm getting old, you know. My body says I'm getting old. My hearing says I'm getting old. But my actions sometimes, according to others, are juvenile. So, you know, I guess I can't win. But the point is that in L.A., may I ask you where you live? Do you live close to the coast?
He's listening on the radio right now. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, here's the deal. People in Los Angeles have got to come to the conclusion that as the increase in earthquakes that are taking place and the warnings go out, when has that, I'm going to answer this question, when has the President of the United States ever told anybody to prepare, okay? Well, not this one until recently. I believe the whole California coast, we've always heard that, but I think going inland, like to Borrego Springs, where the earthquake happened a week ago, I say this, the key to understanding a major quake or even a volcanic eruption is long-period episodic quakes. Doesn't mean, you know, just aftershocks. But the first thing the gentleman ought to have is an escape plan.
Yes.
He ought to know that at the event, he needs to watch for certain indicators, i.e., military transports coming in when everything seems to be fine. Number two, more aftershocks happening in multiple places, not just a localized area like, for instance, on the San Andreas. There are faults that are worse than the San Andreas or the Hayward fault. The other thing is that creatures, here's one of the best things for people who live on the coast to watch, and I think we're seeing it. Sharks in the water are sensitive to sonic vibrations. They have what's called a lateral line system. That's why divers in distress, meaning scuba divers, snorkelers, that's how they sense. It's, if you will, their own version of sonar. It's not that, but it's similar to that. When sharks start to pool, they're a good indicator of basically seismic movement of plates, tectonic plates, and also coastal plates. And I tell people, if I were to see pools of sharks up and down from anywhere from the Baja to, you know, Manhattan Beach, Torrance, all the way up into the Farallon Islands, Catalina, when you start hearing about that, then you know something's going on. And by the way, the shark attacks are increasing dramatically.
Oh, they really are, all over the place. Steve, hold on for a sec. We're gonna take this break again, and then we're going to come back with the final phone calls. But you're right. The sharks have gone crazy. Alligator attacks, as I've just been reporting, have gone crazy. It's unbelievable. We'll be back. Back with Stephen Quayle. Stephen, a couple of weeks ago, I had our friend Stan Dale on for a little bit, talking about some earthquakes and what could happen in California. Boy, you got to be ready. You got to prepare, don't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just the pioneer spirit. When you look at our forefathers and how basically prepared for the unknown were, it's not a lack of trust or faith to prepare. It's a way of life. And the old statement is those who fail to prepare are already preparing for failure. You know, you take everything. We take everything for granted. We have life insurance, health insurance. Well, that's in a mess. But, you know, we once had great health insurance. But right now, you know, we don't have what I would call reality insurance. And that's what I think Coast and other you know, radio programs that are telling people what's coming are doing. Look, they, you know, we know this. The biggest business in the world now is knowledge is power. And when people are tuning in and listening and they can get prepared, even if it means going to the grocery store and buying extra cans of soup with meat in them. And by the way, not everything has a big C. There are other brands of soup that are good. Bags of rice. I would tell this to people. Remember how many people in the world live off of rice? You know, a rice and some canned meat will cause you to live. Vitamin C, because the potential in any event is basically you're going to most likely be without fresh fruit, and vitamin C is a necessary staple in life. We all know what rickets are. If you don't, look it up. The thing that's troubling to me, George, is that now the powers that be are telling everybody to be prepared. They won't admit to Planet X. They won't admit to even the laws of physics that basically say when you have two bodies coming into close contact, the greater gravitational effect will, mass and density of the larger body will affect the smaller body's gravitational effect. So we have the Inuit Indians telling us the sun, that the earth is tilting. We've always heard about axis shift. We have the sun going funky, okay? F-U-N-K-Y. Not a scientific term, but it's exhibiting behavior that it hasn't exhibited in the past. And by the way, one of the things, again, a prophetic reality to be looking at is when the volcanic ash becomes so great in the sky, the sun will literally look like sackcloth. When you look at the sun, it will look like granulated, and it'll look like you're looking in through it, a screen at it. That affects growing seasons. In 1816, the price of food went through the roof. And if people can't eat now, all these volcanoes going off are affecting weather. They're affecting temperature. They're affecting growing season. So when you see snowfall in places that never had snowfall, understand you've got a historic precedent in 1816. And I haven't calculated it yet, but there are people who are listening to the show that have the ability to do it. You can calculate the volume of ash and sulfur and the emissions from all these going off just by the altitude and the power of the explosion. And when you see the amount of volcanic ash and the amount of sulfur dioxide going into the upper atmosphere, it becomes, how should I say this, a window into a very, very dire future. That's not my spin. That's history. Mm-hmm.
All right, to the phones again. Mark in Baltimore, Maryland. You're on with Stephen Quayle. Mark, go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks a lot for taking my telephone call.
Sure thing.
Mr. Quayle, I'm impressed with your statements, and I agree with a lot of what you said. I'm a veteran, and I'm also Jewish, and you were talking about a Mars jump room and man's been cloned, and you said something about Moses, and then you said something about we've been beyond the stars, and, I don't doubt your feeling about the veracity of your statements, but you sort of, to me, you throw them out there kind of offhandedly, and I'd like to ask you what evidence, because you did mention sources that are either dead or others that are with you that have heard these things that you have stated over the air. So can you tell me, Mr. Quill, from a skeptic's point of view, what evidentiary material are you in possession of to substantiate your claims, which is so far to the listener is just anecdotal?
Well, first of all, to you it's anecdotal because you haven't done your homework. And again, sir, I would tell you this, that there are other witnesses in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. That was in the Old Testament. You, being Jewish, should understand that principle. Second of all, Dr. Basiago is one of about a dozen people who are alive and can give specific detail that is corroborated. Even when I made the statement about Mars, we were told it never had water, yet we're being told it now. You probably have a hard time with the whole alien agenda, yet the point being is that the alien agenda is being openly talked by one of the biggest religions in the world, not yours at this point, but Roman Catholicism. And the Pope and his leading scientists are openly talking about aliens, and if they were to be found to be true, they would baptize them. Well, the evidence is in the statements of people who you can find all over the country and the world that live in the world of black physics. But you know the best thing that is going on for the evidence. I've done my homework. When I footnote a book, I put like 400 to 500 footnotes or more in it. So, you know, it's beyond the scope of this show to talk. I'm saying this, if you are genuinely seeking for the truth and just not a skeptic, and my guess is your skepticism carries through in a lot of areas, you know, of your life, then I would just share this. Look at the evidence, those of us who document it, write it, look at history, look for corroborating evidence, the mouth of two or three witnesses, and then decide if you believe it or not. You see, unfortunately, it doesn't matter if you believe it. The problem is that the evidence points to it. My guess is, if I said to you, sir, be honest with me, I'm trying to be honest with you, if I asked you if you thought human cloning was real 10 or 15 years ago and that they'd be able to duplicate you and download your entire essence, your mental, physical, psychological makeup, would you have believed it?
That's a good question, Stephen. 15 years ago? Maybe not. Today, they might be doing that.
Well, I can tell you this. Everything that you see. Now, Drudge, okay? Matt Drudge is probably, in my opinion, he's provided one of the most amazing bulletin boards to the world. He's brought statements, a scientific. By the way, George, if myself or Tom Horn, we write books on this stuff, or Chris Putnam or all the other writers, I'm just, you know, the ones I associate with, I'm calling them off the top of my head. But the point is we don't go out and make this stuff up. We're not sitting around, you know, in a ceremony, smoking peyote, popping acid, you know what I'm saying, or snorting some new drug of the day. But when we're talking to the, and I would say this, when you talk to Native American elders in one part of the world, and you go to chiefs and shamans and scientists in the other part of the world, and when the scientific community is saying, who would have believed that India, the country of India, would have records on flying ships? And to the listener that was just asking me that question, I would ask him to answer for himself. What is it he sees now that he could not have embraced 15 years ago? The problem is, with anybody that has been in that world, the idea of releasing it in science fiction to diminish the, if you will, the relevance of the reality of it is what is a psychological warfare weapon from the beginning. In other words, when you put it out there and make jokes about it, people automatically dismiss it as funny. When someone comes on your show and says, hey, this is real, just like the underground tunnels and bases, Richard Souder, you know.
Oh, yeah, great guest.
Huh?
Great guest.
Yeah, and I just got an email from the other day. The bottom line is that, look, we who do our homework do it for a reason and a passion. Mine's simple. I don't want people to die. I don't want people to be anymore. I'm tired of the murder. I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of the devil, his entities, his minions on earth. I'm one voice, but to the degree that I say one thing on one interview, one show, one radio broadcast, and that's the key to putting it all together for people. That's why I do what I do. Look, I'm 65. I've been doing this stuff for a long time. But I know this. My time to step into eternity comes at the Lord's discretion, although there are a lot of people that like to send me early. The point I'm what we leave.
Let's hope not, Steve.
Yeah, what we leave, George, we leave behind. And it's just like, you know, you can interview and whoever, and when they're gone, they're gone. But what they gave you that's verifiable, and I'll tell you what, every day a biblical fulfillment is coming to pass. That is this, that there's nothing that's been hidden that will be that won't be revealed. It will be made known. And I think probably one of the most powerful words I've ever said on your show, and I believe it's happening right now, is God is going to reveal the sins of the leader to their people, and the sins of the people to God. There really is something called sin. It's not an act. You know, we look at an act, I mean, a response to sin. It's a power. There really is a war going on between a real devil, Just notice the rise of Satanism, and they're more bold in their witness to Satan than the Christians are for their witness to Jesus Christ, okay? And let's face it, Christians are being slaughtered worldwide, and the vomitary press, okay, is silent. Yet any time something happens that can be tracked back to fundamentalism, and I'm talking Islam, and they're true to what they believe, and yet everybody's trying to make excuses. And I just noticed on Drudge, Donald Trump said, the president's more angry at me than he is at Islamic terrorists. I'm telling you, that's why people are backing Donald Trump, getting behind him, because he's not a party member. They can't buy him, and I pray for his safety, literally. And I know there are millions of Christians that do. Because what he's doing, he's acting as a prosecuting attorney, laying out the evidence for all the BS and all of the lies, the subterfuge, the betrayal, and let's call the word treason that's taken place. The United States, by the insiders, has been raped, pillaged, and plundered. Our military is no longer able to deal with the external threats. So what's happening? The military is being taught that American citizens, especially American vets, constitutionalists, and people that love their country, that believe in their borders, the American borders being secure, our language and our culture, they hate us because that's contrary to the lie they want to substitute in its place.
Valerie is in New York City now. Hi, Val. Go ahead.
Hi. You had mentioned about Andrew Basiago, and he's the one that saw Obama in the jump room after he got out of the jump room on Mars, right?
Yep.
When he was young.
That's what he says.
Right? Okay. And then also that he says that there's some kind of boundary that the good aliens have, intergalactic aliens have put, like, I guess, at the edge of our solar system because of all the, you know, space wars. They're trying to get started, and they've been doing, like, on Mars and stuff, and to protect all the good aliens out there beyond our solar system.
Well, I want to share something that I believe that what many people call aliens and what people call the Anunnaki, you know, the thing is that we're seeing a cosmic war. In all the studies I've done and written about extensively, and by the way, I believe Zachariah Sitchin's research is tremendous. I believe his conclusions differ from mine. Where he used the word Anunnaki, I believe the history relates them as, if you will, fallen angels, watchers, or winged creatures. So the idea of good and bad, it's like good cop, bad cop. The idea is simply to, and this is exactly what right now the Vatican is embracing behind the scenes. And again, what I'm telling you is this. Malachi Martin was not murdered because he was making stuff up, and he was murdered. Malachi Martin was not murdered because he was just basically on some fantasy run. And for those of you who don't know him, he was a very brilliant man who, George, did he speak, what, 13 or 17 languages? I think Tom Horn said,
yeah,
17 languages.
Close to it.
And so the point being is this, is there's another example of the information not being released. And what's poignant and very pertinent to our conversation tonight, you know, it's easier for people to believe in benevolent aliens than it is to believe in God's heavenly angels. Good angels, bad angels. The Bible teaches a third of the angels fell when Lucifer fell. So again, you know, the war that's going on in heaven soon will be so apparent on earth, and that Jesus said men's hearts would fail them. People are going to drop dead of this stuff. And I get emails, George, from people that are having incubus, succubus experiences. We won't go into that in great detail, but they're having encounters sexually with very evil entities. And then even movie stars are talking about it. You know, it's don't take another movie star to lunch. Take a specific evil spirit to bed. This is going right back to the Dark Ages. And unfortunately, right now, science is tampering with the very fabric of creation. They're breaking the boundaries. They're bursting the boundaries. Let us break their bands asunder. They're overcoming every barrier that God created. And God basically made the commandment that you're not to cross species. Well, obviously, if God is making that commandment and the devil hates God with a passion that caused a third of the angels to rebel, you see, you can't get away from the war in heaven, because even Zacharias Sitchin couldn't get away from the war of between gods and men, fallen angels. And by the way, again, in the new DVD when it comes out, we have some pretty amazing information about what Zacharias Sitchin said by one of his best friends in the world, a very famous best friend, and people will be blown away. Again, I believe that it's going to come down simply to this. Whose report are we going to believe? I believe nothing in the mainstream press, and evidently, judging by Drudge's headlines the other day, nobody does. They've lost all credibility. They choke on their own programming, literally. They can't even come up
30 seconds, Stephen.
They can't come up with an original story. So, George, thank you for having me come on tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, go to my website, stevequayle.com, Quayle.com, and look at the book Xenogenesis and Empire Beneath the Ice, two of the most timely and relevant books, I believe, that are out there for people to read.
And, Stephen, real quickly, your daughter Stephanie is up for some awards in her singing career. How can people help her real fast? Go ahead.
Well, they can help her, and it's fascinating you would say that. Real quick, I'm sorry, I got to go to it right now because I'm going so fast. They can go to StephanieQuayle.com, Quayle.com, and on there, there's a thing called Webster Publications, and you can vote for her. She's got a new song out. It's basically iHeartRadio.com/Rising Star, and her new song out is Drinking Cokes with Dolly. It's called Drinking with Dolly. It's about a Coke, and I'm really proud of her, George.
StephanieQuayle.com, right?
Yep, thank you.
All right, my friend, be well. Up next, an hour of open lines on Coast to Coast AM.